Well, this story is kind of irresistible. Crows have been living near humans for virtually all of civilization, and you'd think they would have picked up some pointers. And there is some evidence that they actually have. The resourceful crow is a star in animal lore. The trickster crow, there's the prankster crow. What about the friendly crow? Katie Sewell, senior producer and host of the Bittersweet Life podcast, profiled a young girl named Gabby Mann, who has a sweet relationship with the crows in her yard. She's received dozens of shiny, sparkly gifts from crows over the past 4 years, she says. Enterprising producer Sewell decided to verify this claim from the adorable Gabby, and so she took Gabby's data to the nearby University of Washington, where a real crow expert, John Marsloff, knew all about gifting crows. Young Gabby was onto something.
Gabby Mann is an 8-year-old girl who lives in the city of Seattle who gets gifts regularly from crows that she feeds in her backyard. Little shiny trinkets. I found out about her from John Marsloff, who is a scientist at the University of Washington. And apparently Gabby knew about John because of his extensive research on crows, and so she brought in her collection to him for him to look at.
Well, there are three things here. There's, you know, what's going on in the mind of the crow. That's the biggest mystery. Then there's the stuff itself and whether the collection of stuff actually suggests a motive that involves some deeper morality other than random garbage that crows would pick up. And then there's Gabby herself. What is she like? And why do you think she might be touched by crows versus some of the rest of us?
She is very interested in nature. In fact, she often refers to herself as Nature Girl, or she'll say that that's what the crows call her. And when she started getting these crow gifts, she sort of approached it like a scientist would in a way, where she not only kept the gifts, but she started bagging them and putting them in order so that she has little plastic bags that are labeled with the date, where she found the gift, what time of day it was, those things. So she almost is approaching it from a scientific aspect as well. But she also has a very rich imagination. So these objects are not only a rock, it's a stone from the seven seas that the crows flew out and picked up for her special and brought it back.
This is a heart from them. It's showing me how much they love me. This, it's kind of like a keychain. They gave it to me and it says best, and I don't know if they have the part that says friend.
But they haven't given that to you yet?
No.
Great question, I have to say. So that's still out there.
Don't you love that she imagines, though, that one of these crows has a little piece of metal that says friend on it? That's just like you would with your best friend. It's wonderful.
So what does a scientist at the University of Washington think about this phenomenon and the collection itself?
Well, John says that it could be that in some ways these crows are courting the family, just as they would a mate.
I have seen an awful lot of things crows have brought people. Certain individual crows, the bond they form with that person might be even a kind of a courtship bond where they're bringing presents like they would to their mates, courtship feeding, for example. So some people, their presents are dead baby birds. Other people, they're beautiful pendants or shiny glass or trinkets of all sorts. And if you're lucky enough that the bird that really is conditioned to you is a gifter, then yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And a lot of times these gifts are not just, you know, picked out special. They're picked out to encourage the behavior that the family is doing. So the family is putting out food. The crows think that's a good thing, so they're giving something back.
So this is part of a conversation between a family, Gabby and her mom, Lisa, for instance, and the birds who benefit from what it is they're putting out for these birds. Let's listen to the human family talk about this.
We know this is from the crows because sometimes they're rusted and dirty and nothing that a person would carry around.
And do they leave them in particular places, or do you just find them on the ground?
Yeah, sometimes in the bird feeders and stuff.
The feeders on the tables, and sometimes you'd see, especially next to the water bowls, some small little doodad sitting there.
Can you make it happen? Is there a methodology for going beyond simply bird feeders and getting bird gifts?
I wish you could. Not that they know of as scientists, but John also points out, though, that if you feed ritually at the same time and maybe use some sort of a noise that signals that you're about to feed them, maybe you rattle something or you use peanuts in the shell so that they make a clicking sound when they hit the ground, if you're really routine about it, your chances are higher because you'll start making a pattern with these crows. But still, no guarantees, because you also have to have a crow in your neighborhood that is a gifter.
Now, how is this, I don't know, how is this like a lesson we can take with us as opposed to just a crow version of cute squirrel videos online, you know what I mean?
Well, I think the very interesting thing about this story, and I think why so many people have been interested in it, is it just gives you a different perspective on nature, in the sense that sometimes we think of nature as just something that's going on that doesn't involve us, and we forget that we're a part of nature, and nature actually, animals do interact with us to a certain degree, that we are all living in an ecosystem and we can interact with one another. And something about this story, like the idea that a crow would so particularly engage with a little girl, is magical. It makes you feel like it's not bird and human, it's human and bird together, being able to talk with one another in their own ways.
Katie, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Katie Sewell is senior producer and host of the Bittersweet Life podcast and a former senior producer with KUOW in Seattle. You can see pictures of Gabby Mann and her crows at thetakeaway.org. And, you know, I just figured out maybe the reason why crows aren't in zoos is they're just too smart. Nobody was able to get them into zoos. Later this hour, we're going to be talking about zoos. Do you think animals should be put on display? Portland, Oregon, I used to be a big supporter of zoos, but have come to believe they are wrong for animals. Our money should go to supporting habitat. Not all species will survive, but keeping them alive in zoos is no help.
This is Anne from Portland, Oregon. As a parent, I love that our kids are able to see the zoo animals alive in front of them, and I get to see the kids get excited about learning more about the animals. The exhibits here often bring in information about climate change, habitat loss, other cultures, and more. There are some great exhibits at our zoo, and the community has generally supported improving the outdated habitats.
Conflicted Portlanders regarding zoos. Stay with us. That discussion is coming up. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to have your say.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, brain training designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 60 million people worldwide, with personalized training programs to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving. Learn more at Lumosity.com.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.